Chapter 13. When Ravens Call. Dior's eyes opened well after sunset, wide and blue in the deepening dark. She'd dreamed during the day, lips curling in a smile soft as winter's first snow. But we knew she had been dreaming of Lily, the ancient's blood at work inside her now, choking resolve and weakening will. And as she lifted her head from the hard stone, Dior's smile died, cold reality choking whatever sweetness she'd found beyond the wall of sleep. Her hands were manacled, an iron collar chaining her to a rusted ring on the wall. The wolf mother had been ungentle, returning her to her cage after her escape, and Dior's skin was splashed with bruises, shadows smudged under her eyes, the beauty spot at her cheek as dark as the blood crusted upon the floor. Her cell reeked of it, and she glanced to the gift they'd left her, the head of the jailer she'd not quite beaten to death, yet condemned to it all the same. The rest of the man had gone to the foul bloods, of course. Far be it from the Divok to waste a meal. Her throat was parched, stomach growling. They'd given her nothing to eat or drink all day, and now the fearful sun had fallen again, night's cloak gathered, and when those curtains fell, we all knew full well how the final act would play. "I'm so fucked," she breathed. Tap, 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 tap. We rested upon her cheek, near as afeared as she. For all we'd seen scouting the dun, we could see no way out now, and the thought of her bound to the untamed was a terrifying one. Dior would be forced to tell all we'd revealed about the faithful, and if the Divok unearthed our eldest's resting place, all that knowledge, all that power, all those shriven souls. "Are you still hurt?" Dior whispered, soft in the dark. Tap. "Too hurt to help me." We could only flutter our wings then, frustrated and fearful. Our burns were healing, but not yet enough. We could not enter a lair like this alone and live. "It's all right." Dior rolled onto her knees, brow to the stone. "No sense throwing good queen after bad. I've been worse places than here. I'll think of something." It was bravado. We knew it. But still, she dragged herself up, taking a familiar stance. And unarmed, hopeless, but trying to feel a little less helpless, she ran the sword forms Gabriel taught her. Belly, chest, throat, repeat. She'd no chance of fighting her way free here. Like her bluster, this practice was a bulwark against fear. But as footsteps rang on the stair, and she flinched at the sound, we saw how desperately she needed it.
"Working up a thirst, little mouse?"
The door was flung wide to reveal Kiara looming on the threshold.
"The heartless will see it sated."
She smiled, unlocking Dior's chain.
"Get her ready."
This last was aimed over her shoulder, and we saw Worm standing in the corridor outside, arms laden with silken finery. At the wolf mother's command, the maidservant hurried into the cell, wordlessly peeling Dior out of her bloody clothes. The Grail stayed mute, allowing herself to be dressed, whatever trepidation she felt at being stripped in front of this monster, outweighed by her hatred of it. Worm lacked the powders and paint she'd had the previous eve, but even ill-equipped, she did fine work, draping Dior in that same beautiful ball gown, adorning her fingers with jewels, and finally cinching her waist tight in the bonds of an ornate cream corset. When the maidservant was finished, the wolf mother looked Dior over and sneered, and taking up the chain that had bound her to the wall, snapping it like a whip, Kiara led Dior up from the dungeon and into the dun, Worm on their heels. Walking through the stink of death and misery, Dior's gaze was downturned, cold sweat on her skin. But she glanced up as she was led through the Hall of Crowns, her face running bloodless at the sight of dead bodies being dragged in from outside. We recognized the corpses. The elderly and frail fed to the foulbloods in Newton yestereve. Their empty bodies were being carried toward the chateau kitchens now, hefted by scorched, wearing bloody aprons, butcher knives at their belts. Worm bowed her head, making the sign of the wheel. Dior looked to the maidservant then, blue eyes gone wide as realization sank in. "That pit of bones outside," she whispered. "Those soldiers handing out meat to the people in Olten when we arrived." And she whispered then, Gabrielle's words about the slaughter farms at Triobaili. "I can still smell the fucking stench when I close my eyes." Chiara glanced over her shoulder and shrugged. "Wist not, want not, little mouse." Dior's fists curled closed then, jaw clenched so tight her teeth creaked. "Why are you like this?" she hissed. Chiara stopped at that, turning to stare at the grail. Dior looked frightened, furious, gesturing around at that symphony of misery. Worm took the younger girl's hand to calm her, but the grail shook her off, stepping up to the wolf mother and trembling with rage. "Why are you all like this?"
"You think yourself better," Chiara growled. "You think yourself saintly. Your kind hunted mine for centuries, girl, and not a tear they spilled for one of us. I asked nay for this life, nor for my laird Nikita to take my old one from me. But take it he did, for the sake of the dun I owned, and I spent the next 5 decades in hiding, terrified of being burned in my bed or dragged screaming from it into the sun."
"Then why serve him?" Dior demanded. "You were his victim, just like the rest. It was nay.
I was nay victim."
Chiara dragged off her gauntlet, lifting her hand before Dior's face. And there, branded upon her skin, was Nikita's mark.
"I was his beloved. Together we lived as beau and bride. 50 years hunted, shunned as abominations, as monsters. But you are monsters."
The wolf mother shook her head then, her eyes hard and cold.
"If that be so, little mouse, we are the monsters your kind made us."
Dior grunted as Chiara tugged her chain, stumbling forth once more. Heart pounding, chewing her nails now, she and we both searched about desperately for some way out of this plight. God had brought her here for a reason, had he not? Surely it was not to suffer thraldom at the hands of the heartless. But we could see no way through, and our prayers were still answerless as Dior was dragged into the Hall of Plenty before Nikita's grisly court. They were gathered again, devils with the countenance of dead angels, the tattooed one called Dregan, his fearsome bride Alex in his lap, tipping a goblet of blood into his upturned mouth, the unholy sister whispering with a smiling cane, the grey jester arguing with an old and apparently sightless man, Remiel with his coat stitched of the flayed hides of dead children. The rafters were strung with people, maids with knives and goblets waiting obediently below. And at the end of the hall awaited the king and queen of this court of the blood, Blackheart and Heartless, watching all atop their stolen thrones. Lily wore a daring gown of midnight silk and lace tonight, her long red hair circled by a crown of stag antlers. One gold-clad hand rested on Prince's head. The wolf, as ever, sat beside his mistress, his one good eye agleam. Her ladies stood about her, Worm taking up her place on her belly before Lily's throne. Nikita was resplendent in black and ocean blue, hair dark as midnight, his mighty greatsword at rest on the back of his throne. And in front of Nikita, down on his knees, was poor Aaron da Costa. He wore only leather breeches again, muscle carved of pale stone, a leather collar cinched tight about his throat. As Dior was knelt beside him, the brave Capitaine of Avalane glanced her way, and we saw true pity on his face. But as Nikita stirred, Aaron's gaze was torn from Dior's, and thereafter the lordling looked only at him. It seemed Aaron had been fed by his master already this eve, or perhaps he'd shared Nikita's bloody bed during the day and feasted as the sun sank to rest. Whatever the case, we saw it in the fledgling's eyes now, his smile, his sigh, that hellish adoration he'd warned Dior of in his cell. Love is mortal. Blood is eternal.
Oh, Aaron, she whispered.
Attend, Nikita said.
The hall stilled, all eyes now on that ebon king. Thorns on his brow agleam, Nikita rose to address his lords and ladies, a voice of iron reverberating on the walls.
My lords, my kin, my blood, these are the greatest knights the children of Divok have ever known. After great Toliev's murder at the hands of the thrice-cursed lion, we fell to petty squabbling, bleeding each other as much as the cattle we were born to rule. But now, by the hand of mine own beloved daughter, hath that murder been avenged.
Here Nikita gestured to Kiara, black eyes agleam. The wolf mother lifted her head, smiling as the monsters around the hall offered bloody toast.
The quarrels of the past hath been laid aside, the black heart continued. United under Nikita, the blood Divok hath brought all Oswey to its knees in 2 short years, and this whole empire shall follow.
He pointed to that vast map upon the wall, the realm of Elidane, taken in with a sweep of his hand. Sigils were marked upon it, outlining the points of kith conflict, the lines of their fronts. A flock of ravens was gathered along a river to the far east, poised above the Elidane capital, the whole Nordland behind awash in their gold. Wolves were scattered about the south of the continent, dots of red indicating their strongholds of power. But in the west, a great multitude of bears were gathered, the whole country shaded blue.
The Shastan fumble in the Sudeimi, Nikita said. The Elon cower in the few scattered city ports. The Vos still battle the Emperor in the east. And meanwhile, we rule Oswey as kings.
Nikita lifted his chin, meeting the stares of his monstrous court.
Know we, my lords, that these lands are bled near dry. Know we that thou hast hungered these past nights. But know we also that all Elidane can be ours if we have but the will to seize it.
A hungry murmur rippled among the kith, fangs bared, eyes narrowed.
Yet no dynasty may endure without new blood. One now kneels in homage before us, with desire to stand in service beside us, and we have found him worthy.
With a snap of Nikita's fingers, young Isla entered the hall, dressed in finery and bearing a golden bowl and iron rod. Wide green eyes fixed on Aaron, the lass proffered the rod to Nikita, one end glowing bright and smouldering. Dior's shoulders sagged at the sight of the brand, rippling with heat. Nikita turned to Aaron, still on his knees, iron ablaze between them.
Whom dost thou serve?
he asked. Nikita, Aaron breathed, as if the name were God's. Whom dost thou love? Nikita. The Black Heart's lips curled, eyes deep and cold as the starless sky above.
I shall dear miss the sight of thee upon thy knees, golden one.
Aaron looked up into Nikita's face, smiling just as dark as he.
Ask it of me, master, and I shall gladly kneel again.
Kiara stood nearby. The smile that had curled her lips just moments ago now fled entire. We could feel a sob bubbling in Dior's throat, and she averted her eyes as the Capitaine of Avalane offered his hand to his lord. Lily caught her gaze then, smile heavy with dreadful promise. Dior turned away. Aaron's gasp cut the air, a sigh of something horribly close to passion slipping his fangs as the sound of sizzling flesh kissed the air. Nikita took Aaron's hand, rubbed the burn with ink and ashes from Isla's bowl, and with a triumphant smile, the ancient loosed the collar about the fledgling's neck.
Rise, Aaron de Costa, blood sworn of Nikita, and...
The doors boomed open, and all eyes turned toward the southern end of the hall. Soraya stood there, framed in the light, her expression grim as death. The vampire strode through the gathering, shoulders and braids bejeweled with fresh snow, her mighty sword in one fist. She stopped a respectful distance from the thrones, sinking to one knee.
Daughter? Nikita asked.
Forgive me, Priori. A message has come to the gates from the Iron Hearts.
The Divok, Ancient, exchanged a glance, and we felt the mood in the hall grow heavier. Lily scowled, waving one lazy hand.
Tell the Vos be gone. We are Divok, not Shaston. We speak not to dogs.
A mirthless chuckle rippled around the room, but Soraya looked only to Nikita.
They are insistent, father.
Nikita returned to his seat.
They?
Soraya nodded, glancing to her sister Kiara.
The Terras, Alba and Alain Vos, they are come beneath banner of Pax and request courtesy under the old forms.
The mood fell further, the vampires about the room whispering. For Fabian to have sent his eldest daughters to speak to the Blackheart in person. Lily turned to her brother.
They shall offer nothing we want.
Let them offer all the same.
Nikita's gaze fell on Dior, empty and dread.
There be wisdom in listening when ravens call, sister.
Lily narrowed her eyes at that, but Nikita looked to Soraya.
Show the princess in, good daughter.
He raised a warning finger.
Politely.
Soraya bowed and marched from the hall. Dior was dragged upright by Kiara, propped beside the Contessa's ladies. Nikita bid his new soldier rise, and with a dark and knowing smile, Aaron bowed and backed away. Dior watched him sit beside beasts he'd spent half his life battling, tears welling to see him so twisted by so small a thing as 3 drops of blood. Her eyes drifted to Worm, on her belly before Lily's throne, and then to the monster on that throne itself. We could feel the Grail's heart thudding ever faster as those red, bow-shaped lips gently curled in a smile. Soon, it seemed to promise.
Alba and Alain Vos,
came the call, Soraya's voice echoing in the hall.
Firstborn of Fabian, Ancient of the Iron Hearts and Princess of Forever.
Sweating now, breath quickened, Dior lifted her eyes to watch the terrors sweep into the hall. They stalked forward beneath the gaze of 100 bristling untamed, sparing none of them a glance. To step willingly into such a dragon's den may have seemed a fool's gamble to mortals, but courtesy is a custom sacrosanct among ancient, and besides, the first daughters of the Forever King were likely more powerful than any in that keep. The twins walked in mirrored unison, heels clicking upon the stone. They were luminous in their finery, sweeping frock coats and silken hose of black and white, eyes as dark as the siblings watching their approach. Behind them came a cadre of foulbloods, but not a rotten rabble as in the city below. These dead walked with the voice of the Voss ringing in their minds, left foot, right foot, in grim parody of soldiers at parade. Alba and Elaine stopped some 20 yards from the thrones, sweeping off their snow-kissed tricorns and curtsying like noble ladies at court. They spared Dior a glance, and we could feel them probing, failing, the air thrumming with fathomless power.
"Priore Nagita," they said. "We offer greetings and humble thanks for thy courtesy." "Prince Alba, Prince Alain, a singular pleasure has always doubled."
Nikita's lips curled in a smile, sharp and wicked.
"How long hath it been since we danced? 80 years since Ilhan's masquerade, methinks."
92,
they replied. "So many. Ah, the heart bleeds to have so long been denied such majesty."
"Majesty," Lily sneered, "spake the night to the day."
Black eyes turned in unison to the Contessa.
"Lady Lily, we greet thee."
"Ah, they deign attend at last, she who sits upon eldest's throne."
"Forgive us, lady,"
the terrors bowed.
"A novelty to stand in a hall where eldest and greatest sit side by side. Among the iron hearts, they are one and the same."
"We forgive thee, princes, of course."
Lily scratched her pale wolf behind his ears, her tone mild as summer breeze.
"Counting to 2 is a difficult proposition, after all."
Nikita stroked his chin, still smiling.
"Thou hast journeyed far to exchange barbed pleasantries, cousins. Thy father's forces are to the east, we hear. His righteous crusade set to crush Montfort's walls to dust. How comes it thou art so far from his side?"
"Our dread father Fabian, the Forever King, Priore of Vos, eldest of the kith and sovereign ruler of this empire, hath desire for return of his property."
"Property?"
The terror's eyes fell upon Dior.
"This child belongs to him."
"Indeed?"
Nikita raised one eyebrow.
"Yet, by time-honored pact twixt our great lines, there is naught west of the Mir and north of the Undir that be not dominion of the untamed. And whilst a king Fabian may also be, no emperor's laurel hath yet kissed his brow by our reckoning. Ye owe estate, cousins, and owe step."
"By what right doth Fabian claim this prize?"
Lily asked. The terrors glanced to the heartless.
"The child is his."
"No, she is ours. By this very night's end, third time blooded and bound unto me."
A flush rose on Dior's cheeks at that promise, and fear gripped us as we saw her eyes roaming Lily's throat, licking absent-minded at the corner of her mouth. The terror's eyes slipped back to Nikita.
"Our father offers reward for return of his property, Priori. 2,000 head of mortal stock from his lands in the north, delivered unto thee afore sweet winter's end. Cattle have I in abundance already, Nikita said. Indeed.
The terrors tilted their heads.
Thy lands appeared quite barren upon our journey here. We had e'en heard vicious rumour that to restock thy larder, thy captains were forced to raid east of the mare, in violation of that time-honoured pact made recent mention of.
The ancient glanced to a bristling Kiara, then bowed in unison to Nikita.
But of course, we were misinformed. No doubt Avilane's fate was the work of lowly brigands, and wise Nikita has some hidden cornucopia that shall feed his bloodlords and foulbloods well after the summer thaw, when ice turns to rivers and feast to famine.
The Blackheart's eyes narrowed, and he leaned back in his throne, drumming sharp claws upon his leathers.
2,000, ye say?
So much cattle hath Fabian, Lily mused, that he might spare them to feed us.
But the terrors ignored the heartless, eyes on Nikita.
What say thee, Priori?
In the belly of Soladair, Selene Castilla fell silent, pausing now for thought. Dark eyes locked on the river between her and the historian, she leaned forward, legs crossed, steepled fingers hovering just shy of the silver cage over her teeth. There is no greater fondness in a vampire's heart than for a grudge sinner. The Voss had ghouled the Divok since before most of those gathered in Dunmergen had fallen to darkness. Few knew how the animosity between their great houses began. Some whispered of ancient betrayal, or a war of the heart, or friendship soured to bitterest gall. But whatever the root, the hatred between these ancient lines had aged like finest brandy. Voss versus Divok, iron heart versus untamed. It is like
wine versus whiskey,
Jean-Francois murmured. Blonde versus brunette.
Selene blinked, scowling across the river.
I beg your pardon.
No matter.
The historian smiled to himself, glancing upward. Forgive me. The last Liathi frowned a moment longer before continuing. Despite the blow my brother had delivered at the Crimson Glade 12 years prior, the Divok had conquered all Oswey, an astonishing feat that made Nikita the first true king of the dead in this new night. But in his haste to take his throne, the Blackheart had left his kingdom a wasteland. Summer was coming, and with it, the thaw. Rivers would flow once more, ending hope of further conquest till winter began anew. The mortal stock pledged by the terrors would be a boon in the months of coming privation. That much was plain. But to truck with the Voss, for Nikita to admit he needed them.
I say thee, aye,
he declared. Whispers rang among the untamed, bared fangs and flint-hard eyes.
Aye,
the terrors asked.
Aye.
Nikita raised his hand, the iron signet glinting on it.
As soon as thou shalt drop to one knee afore my court, princess, and gift kiss to this ring, and for thy affront to my sister and elder, ye may then drop to both knees and press lips to mine other.
Grim approval rippled through the court, the Dragan's fangs glinting gold as he grinned, Soraya even going so far as to laugh. But if the terrors were incensed, they gave no sign. Instead, with brows raised, they turned toward the foulbloods at their backs.
Ah, sweet Nikita,
came a voice, soft and lilting.
Yeah, thou art ruled not by thy head, but the black heart thou hast named thyself for.
The Count lifted his eyes, searching for the speaker. At some silent command, the foul bloods parted, and standing amid them, a boy was revealed, smiling and bloodless. He was foul-blooded, that much was sure, eyes bleached white, dark traceries of rot's roots at his lips and fingernails. 10 or 11 when he died, hair shoulder-length and ashen blonde, clothes blooded. But he spoke flawlessly, his voice hard and cold, and across his pale eyes and down his brow, we saw a smear of fresh blood. A puppet, we realized, a marionette being steered by another, darker will. Nikita rose to his feet, whispering a word, a curse, a name.
Fabian.